Roll call. We'll just go around.
Want to start Sandy?
Sure. Sandy Beth here.
Jerry Gully here.
Aaron Decker here.
Kim Lewis here.
Laura Belsky here. Andy Berg excused. Any citizens' comments? Do we have citizens' comments? Seeing none. If our youth and governance, Kayla Mitchell, were here, I would be congratulating her on being the Boys and Girls Club of Kenosha outstanding student. And so we wish her all the best. Are there any other comments from committee members, supervisors, anyone? Seeing none. Approval of minutes for February 1st?
So moved.
Second.
Sandy, and you can toss it up between, okay, then Tim.
Kim.
Okay. Good. Okay, next up we have...
We need to vote on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor?
No, I'm not.
Those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Number five, resolution for the appointment of Kenny Harper to serve on the Board of Health, and I believe Mr. Harper is here.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you. As promised last month, I said we would have another appointment this month. And this is Kenny Harper. And I will just really quickly introduce him. He is very well respected and known in his community. Focuses on financial literacy, which is also a component of health literacy. And he has very much the interest to help the community through the Board of Health. So I'll let Kenny introduce himself.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me. I am Kenny Harper. I don't know, there's not much... that Jen didn't already say that I can't say about myself, but just the owner of Harper Tax and Financial Literacy Group, a business born from a guy who made poor financial decisions, figured out how to turn them around and turn it into a business, and now I get to have fun every day doing what I love. 20-year Kenosha resident, really kind of just stayed in my corner for the last 18 of those 20 years, and then I just decided that it was time for me to stop playing business and start doing business and making an impact in the community.
Are there any questions?
How long have you owned your business?
So my my business that I run now, we opened in November of 2020, but my original tax business I opened in November of 2013. So this business is a conversion of my original business that was just strictly tax, and I was going to, it's called Tax Pro on the Go. So I was doing tax presentations at kitchen tables, coffee shops, in my car, wherever it was convenient for the client. But then I saw a need to do more financial literacy, and I brought the insurance piece because I became an independent insurance agent. So now Harper Tax and Financial Literacy Group is a full-service tax and insurance firm that offers, I just love to teach, I'll just put it that way.
And where is it located?
1923 63rd Street in the Uptown Brass Plaza.
Okay, great.
Any other questions? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Move. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right, well,
thank you.
Yeah. Please note at 6:04 that Supervisor Rose is here. Next up, we have number six, resolution for the reappointment of Dominique Pritchett to serve on the Board of Health.
Thank you. As Jen stepped off for a second, I will take this one. But as this board committee will recall, Dominique appeared in front of you in August. She was filling a vacancy from Mark Midori's resignation that ended in December. So we're here tonight to ask that she continue on the Board of Health. She's attended 4 out of 5 meetings. She is born and raised in Kenosha, African-American therapist, and willing to continue to serve and add value to that Board of Health. So we'd ask that she continue her appointment.
Yes, please.
Any comments or questions? Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I'll need that resolution back then. And number 7, we have resolution for the reappointment of Terrence Orthon to serve on the Human Services Board.
Thank you. So this would be Terrence's second term. He's an African-American gentleman who's attended 16 out of 17 meetings. He's actively involved with the Human Service Board. This appointment would run through December 2024. He's also a member of our Mental Health and AODA Committee, which is a subcommittee to the Human Service Board. So I ask for his reappointment.
Any questions or comments? Okay. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Do you want anything open on the screens or no?
We'll see if they have any questions.
Okay.
But.
Next up, we have amended Chapter 16 of the Municipal Code for Kenosha County to reflect changes in State Administrative Code ATCP 75 and to provide clear publication of fees in programs regulated by said ordinance. Mr. Melotek.
Yeah, we had to update our code to match the state statutes. State statute took the term restaurant out of the food code. So now all the restaurants are retail food establishments that serve a meal. So we had to change our ordinance to mimic that. I'm sure the Restaurant Association in Wisconsin did not like the change, but they say it's temporary, but things at the state level for something like this could be 10 years. But when we redid the code, we took the word restaurant, changed it to retail food establishment. There's a couple other changes where temporary food restaurants were changed to transient. So just some mimic changes that we're matching up with. But then we also took the chance to put our fee schedules on our website. We wanted to make them a little more accessible, not hidden, so everybody can see them. And then we can make changes to make sure everything's up to date so they're not getting bad information. So our goal right now is actually to make our website our one-stop shop so people can go on there and see where the application is, how much their license would be, direct contact information. They can email us directly or we have a direct phone number just for our section where people can get a hold of us. It's important to get this stuff in place, especially with the summer coming and all the special events and that where people are calling us left and right. We just want to be accessible.
I think it's going to be a great improvement to update that website because people are very confused about, wait, do I fill this out? Wait, do I pay first and then do I have to bring the documents in to the job center? What do I need to do? So I'm all in favor of this. I like the wording. I think it's very clear for people because we have people in the retail food establishment versus restaurant that are mobile.
Right.
And vendors, and I think it'll be much clearer for them. So,
thanks.
Well done.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Mr. Melotek?
So, this is not a, I'm sorry. Is this a, there's no substantive change here. You're just changing words?
Right. The only substantive change was I took the fee schedule out of the ordinance and posted it on our website.
Okay.
But I put the link on the ordinance to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The other change was that the past was written on a typewriter, so now we have made it electronic. We are coming into 2022. Yes.
Supervisor Gully.
So with the fee schedule being in the ordinance, previously, if there were changes to the fees, did that have to come through group for approval?
Not all the time, because in our statute it also said we could raise the fees up to 5%. But yeah, we would have to change the fees. We wouldn't have to go to the board to get the fees changed.
So with them just being on the website, will there be a process for oversight of any increases, or how will that?
Right, we'd notify everyone because it has to go with our budget.
Okay.
If there's any increases,
so
it would be there.
Thank
but
you.
At least this way, it's nice and clear for people that are going to get licenses. They know how much they need to pay, because right now they really don't understand what they need to pay.
We're really trying to get where people can contact us better. You know, using our website. You know, throwing our emails out there and our phone numbers so they can get in contact with us a little quicker.
I think I've been an advocate for increasing the website for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Yes. I did read through this. I thought it was great and made it much clearer. But the other thing, you frequently talked about the cleanliness and this. Do you have a schedule where the inspections of all the restaurants and the mobile things are done?
We do everything at least once a year.
Okay.
So, and then it, as we get back to normal through the COVID years, we'll have a schedule depending on how the complexity of your restaurant and how many times you'd be getting inspected. So.
Thank you.
Sure.
And just so for commentary, for the markets, farmers markets in town, they have to go around to the farmers markets to anybody that's selling food and make sure that everybody has their license. And so this way, it'll be much cleaner for people that need like a mobile food license, retail license, okay, to be able to go out online and understand what they need to pay and apply for it.
Yeah.
Any other commentary, questions? Vote to approve. Motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was too easy, wasn't it, Mark?
It was. Ordinances,
though. Okay, next up we have Brookside Care Center Financial and Occupancy Review with Director Gagala and Tammy Capito.
Pass those around too.
Yep. Oh my God, how did I do that, Tammy? Oh, here's one. I got it.
Okay. I don't have anything for. Do we have to sign for the amendment?
Not to.
We don't have the resolution for the
amendment.
We should.
Yes,
yeah,
there's a sign and sheet. We didn't print that. Where did that go?
I don't know. Do you have it?
It's not in the packet either. Oh, yeah, it is. It's way
separate.
At the end.
Is it in the packet?
Yeah, it's way at the end, page 14.
Can you?
Oh, I don't know. If that's anybody out there? I am so sorry.
I can tell her. We'll send her.
All right, let me just send it to her super fast.
We'll get it in a second. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, that was dumb. Give me a second, Linda.
It's the Cappy and John show, Cam.
It is. The now this is all on recording, so we can all stop talking.
Oh, Cappy, you can send it to
Carly. You can send it to me.
Tell her to print the last page, please.
While Kathy is working on that, let's go ahead and get started, ladies.
All right. Kathy will go ahead and bring up the PowerPoint as well. So, good evening, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Linda Bogdala, the administrator for Brookside Care Center and Willowbrook Assisted Living. Take off my mask so then you can understand me better. So I've been asked to come here tonight to provide an update on Brookside pertaining to the contributing factors related to our census and the relevancy of us in the future. If you want to go ahead and go to slide two, so then you can see the table of contents and kind of some ideas of what I'll be discussing tonight. So there are three main contributing factors to our decrease in census, which is obviously the decrease in our revenue as well. Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic. Secondly, the state and federal regulations in relation to the pandemic, as well as the workforce crisis today. So the COVID-19 pandemic obviously wreaked havoc on every aspect of life, especially in our world, the post-acute nursing home world, affecting the most vulnerable people that we serve every single day. There was and still is a significant mental and physical toll that has taken upon our staff. The last 2 years have been like nothing they could have ever imagined, or even our residents for that matter. So our main goal obviously was to keep everybody safe, knowing that this pandemic affected our clientele. But not only keeping them safe, but we had to ensure that we were continuing to provide their physical, social, and emotional needs. So it really was truly the perfect storm to which we are living in today. Hospitals stopped performing elective surgeries. Patients and families were more reluctant than ever to come into a nursing home. A lot of that had to do with the press. Between January of 19 and October of 20, the percentage of hospital discharges in nursing homes declined from 19% to 14%, an overall reduction of 26%, resulting in a decline in census bus revenue. So this was not just Brookside, this is overall, because this pandemic obviously didn't affect just Brookside. So if you want to go ahead and go to page 3, you will see our admissions from 2018 to 2021. That green line down at the bottom shows you 2018, we opened up after the remodel in March. 19 was a normal year. And then, of course, in March of 2020 is when the pandemic started. So 2019 is really the year that I would say is our model. It shows that the model that we currently use in relation to payer types, short-term rehab, works. Having over 800 admissions in 1 year is absolutely insane. And when I tell people that we manage that, they just can't even believe it. So that is the exact year that I like to look at and get back to. So Brookside, for those of you that don't know, is a federally regulated entity, regulated by CMS, which is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We also have state regulations that we have to adhere to. So you'll see actually in the 5-page timeline that I gave you, which is another whole thing. And this is the condensed version because the original version is 48 pages. And this is a timeline of everything that we have done since the pandemic. So there's certain areas in here you'll see where elective surgeries were stopped at Friedert. CMS had regulated that we had to wear full PPE when we were entering residence rooms. We weren't providing meals on wheels any longer, and that's actually a revenue source for us. Ascension, you know, had their lowest census that they've ever seen. And then it shows the first positive employee that we've had, and we've had 204 since then. The other situations were new admissions. Obviously, I'm sure many heard, were placed in observation for 14 days in a room. That was a really, really, really difficult situation, and I could understand why people would choose not to do surgeries or put their loved ones in a nursing home knowing that they had to be in isolation for 14 days. And then every time we had to enter those rooms, we had to wear full PPE, and I actually calculated it in late 2020 that it cost us $1.74 every single time we entered a residence room in full PPE. So that's a lot. Obviously, it was adding up. We talked about the beginning of our COVID testing. We've had 133 days of COVID testing since then. The crazy ones were the restrictions of new admissions. Every single time we would have a positive employee or resident, and if they were working during their exposure period, we would have to close down that entire unit to new admissions until we could do two rounds of testing. So
how long did that take? What was the two rounds of testing?
Yep, so you had to do the first round immediately, and then the second round had to be after 5 to 7 days.
So you're talking about a week that you were shut down, at least?
At least, and then you would have to get the results after that 7 days. So you're talking 9 days, usually, depending. So So anyway, that's just for your reading, so you can kind of see that. So, but, however, then on the pages 4 through 7, which is not in your packets, because I was a little bit more apt. Go ahead.
Laura, is it okay if I ask questions?
Sure.
So 2019 is your, we'll call it your model year.
That's it.
And I just noticed that the admissions are different in different months. Mm-hmm. Are admissions, do they vary during the year, like normally, like for example, in the automotive repair field, mm-hmm. we're slow in December because people are buying Christmas gifts. We're slow in mm-hmm. September because mm-hmm. people are buying back to school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have where you know that months are normally higher or lower because of that, or is that not a normal thing?
So I've always wanted to say that you could see where it would be. I always felt that maybe winter was a little bit higher because of slips, trips, and falls. Horrible to think like that, but it's okay. True, right? And also people would be more apt to be elective surgeries mm-hmm. in the winter because they don't, I mean, if you're going to stay indoors, it's going to be during winter, right?
Yeah.
So that is what we have seen. However, I can tell you that healthcare is just one thing that is difficult to predict in general.
Okay. I was just wondering if it was slightly predictable. Like
yep,
that.
Okay. Yep. So if I did a full 10 years of something, I might be able to have a better grasp on that. But then you'd have to break it down between short-term and long-term.
Okay.
Yeah. So on pages 4 through 7, which you don't have, and it's on the screens, though. So if you want to do page 4. And I did that because I didn't want to try to do a HIPAA thing. I didn't give anybody's names or anything, but you could see that there were pages 5 through 7 that had employee positions on it. So I just was careful about showing all of that. So anyway, what the purpose of these slides are to show all of the dates where it says positive dates. There's two columns. And I just realized I didn't put it on that second column over there, but it would be 1, 2, 3, the fourth column. The first and the fourth is to show the positive dates of our employees. So do 5, 6, and 7, because then you'll see the men. The yellow highlights are vaccinated employees. These are my notes that I keep for my own purposes. So again, column 1 and column 4, or the, well, you see what I'm talking about. Anyway, those are all the positive dates. So those are all the employees and their positive dates that I would have to quickly contact Trace to see if they worked during their exposure period. Because if they did, then we would have to halt admissions. We would have to do rounds of testing on all employees and residents who were potentially affected. So to say that it was mass chaos is somewhat a nice way to say it. If you go back to page 4... you'll see that's our residence.
I don't know how to go back. Here we go. Sorry.
You're going the wrong way there.
There you go.
So that's our residence that tested positive. You'll see most of them were short-term rehab, which more than likely their exposure was at the hospital. But every time you would get a short-term rehab person testing positive, then you had to shut down the entire unit, which meant you couldn't bring in admission. So it was really, truly a circle, the circus. So it was a balancing act between the resident safety and admitting residents. Sometimes we were having to move residents from one hall to another so then we could open a hallway to bring in admissions. I know that was some of the complaints we actually got from family members was because their loved one was always moving. But it was because we were trying to open a hallway in kind of like a clean slate so we could bring in new admissions. So it was really difficult. So anyway, that's that. Page 8 is actually the comparison between Brookside Care Center and the other Kenosha County residents, facilities, and Ridgewood Care Center I threw in there and Racine, and how we did in relation to COVID-19. Now, you'll see, obviously, we're at 100% vaccination rates, resident boosters, 91.30%, and the staff vaccination and boosters are higher, but that's since February 6th. So they just haven't, CMS hasn't updated everything. So yes, we did have COVID positive residents. However, you can tell we did much better than many others. And then we had a lot of staff test positive, a lot. And I'm one of them. I tested positive twice. I mean, and fully vaccinated. It just happens. But if we had that many employees test positive and only 27 residents, when I can tell you the majority of the short-term residents of those 27 got it from the hospital, we did pretty darn good in relation to infection control, which is a cost in relation to PPE. So, page 9 and 10. So this kind of goes into the relevancy of skilled nursing and what we can expect to see in the future. Nursing homes are not going to be disappearing. You can see the increased need as the Wisconsin population particularly ages. There are way too many people whose care needs are way too intensive to be provided by in-home care or even assisted living, because some assisted living, you don't have to have a nurse, which is kind of a scary thought, but it's true. So we're going to be around. There is no doubt we will have the relevancy in the future. However, pages 11 through 13 will show me who's going to care for them. So staffing is the top challenge for skilled nursing industry this year. I call it the pandemic within the pandemic. The workforce crisis is legit. Brookside is not immune to this problem. We had this issue prior to the pandemic, and the pandemic has made it worse as 420,000 employees have left long-term care and post-acute care since the beginning of the pandemic. That's crazy.
Do you think it's due to the pandemic?
A lot of it, yes. Mm-hmm. They're tired and retired or got other jobs, or daycare is a big issue. I mean, there's so many different factors that play into this. So the occupancy rates obviously are lagging, not only during the pandemic, but now. We have had to halt admissions because we cannot adequately care for them. We cannot. And we're not the only ones. That's why so many hospitals had the backup that they did and couldn't get rid of their patients because nursing homes couldn't take them because they didn't have the staff to take them. I'm sure many of you would not be willing to compromise your loved one's care by putting them into a nursing home or a facility that couldn't provide adequate care to them. So our admissions director sometimes receives 10 to 20 calls a day from residents of other facilities or loved ones of those residents begging us to take their loved one from another facility because their staffing ratios is sometimes 1 to 20 for CNA. I know that there are stories, and CMS came out with a whole thing yesterday, and I know the president's talking about it in their State of the Union and how CMS is going to be changing some things to deal with nursing homes. Unfortunately, we might be directly affected, but not intentionally. Because of the lack of quality of care that is given, I have a voicemail I'd be happy to share with you that I just received 2 weeks ago from a family member that we did take from another facility. She was crying and thanking us so much for getting her mother there. Actually, it was her mother-in-law was there. They did not have cups to give water. She brought in cases of water bottles for her mother. Loved ones, the stories, you know, they're developing wounds because they're staying in bed all day. So Brookside is not willing to compromise our quality of care and take on more than we can chew, period. I won't do it.
I heard a rumor, too, that we have a nursing home in our city that may be closing.
It is. Kenosha States is closing. Yes. They say it's not due to quality of care, but due to staffing.
Kind of goes hand in hand, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100% does. So, on page 14, your last page, no, I'm sorry, not the last one, my bad, page 14, I'm jumping ahead. So this shows you the separations and the hires that we have had for the last few years. And you can see in 2021 that some cases we have had more separations than we have had hires. We just are not getting people to apply. So, and CNAs are the bigger issue for us. We're having a difficult time keeping them and even just getting them to come to the industry. So we are working at growing them. And I say that by we're working with Gateway, and we will be hosting CNA courses at Brookside because we have a staff training room. But we also have a room designated where they can do their clinicals. So we've submitted the paperwork to the Division of Quality Assurance for approval, and at that point, we're hoping to start classes late spring, early summer. At that point, then, we'll get the CNAs to be able to work for us, hopefully, knowing that they can see what a great facility we are and how we work. Also, we continue to host nursing clinicals for multiple universities and colleges in the area. We've been doing that for years, and we continue to do that. That really allows us the opportunity for those nurses to work with us hand in hand, and you know, kind of try to recruit them at that time and get them to work for Brookside. So that is not an overnight fix, unfortunately. I'm not sure exactly what the immediate fix is, but we are working with HR on a regular basis to see what we can do. Pages 15 and 16 gives more information on the contributing factors related to the staffing crisis in general. A lot of people talk about a livable wage for the staff that, you know, obviously care for their family members at home, your constituents. So it's difficult, but I know that a huge issue, and one that was discussed even in relation to President Biden's changes for CMS, is the Medicaid reimbursement. That's huge. So we lose money for every Medicaid resident. However, that's why we are very particular about how we are funding sources for Medicare, private pay. It's a whole mixture of everything to ensure that we have the model that we did in 2019. If it's weighed appropriately, you're offsetting all of your costs, and it actually works out great. And then you're able to care for all kinds of groups of people.
So if I may just step in, it's a census mix. So private pay pretty much pays the cost. Medicare, we make money, especially now that they changed to the PDPM, which started in 2020. They do a new way of paying. We make money on those, and that helps cover the shortfall of the Medicaid. But with the pandemic, the Medicare is where we're losing census, and the Medicare is where the dollars are that covers the short pay of the Medicaid.
Exactly. And we have those exact numbers as well. So if you turn to the last page, despite the global pandemic, despite all of these regulations, despite all the staffing issues, we're not only the best nursing home in Kenosha County, we're the best nursing home in the state of Wisconsin. So are we experiencing a temporary financial crunch? Yep, we are. However, it's not forever, and I will not allow it to be forever. This is temporary. This is to get us through this pandemic. So the staff at Brookside, what they've endured these last 2 years of constant change and uncertainty and stress, they've truly risen to the top to ensure that we are able to have high qualities of standards, and we want to be that standard of nursing homes. So I might be here representing Brookside, but it's truly the staff that care for our residents every day that deserve the credit for everything that they've done. You know, we've been here for over 100 years, and you know, we will come through this pandemic stronger, and we'll be able to continue to serve the residents of Kenosha County for another 100 years. I know it. So that's more of the operational. Tammy's going to give you numbers in relation to the specifics, like she had said, for Medicare, because that is our number one payer source. And that was what was directly affected, because that's what is used for hospitalizations.
So the December prelims, we're still working on the close of that. It'll be in April. But the December prelims went out, and Brookside has a loss of $3.4 million. When comparing this to 2019, if we were at the same census we had in 2019, we would have $5 million more in revenue. So with the 2021 rates, with the 2019 census, so we have a $5 million loss just from that alone. The other thing new that we had in 2021 was we are paying back our principal on our renovation. So that we didn't have in 2020 or 2019. That started in 2021. So while we were $3 million under in revenue over 2019, we were in expenses $100,000 less than 2019, which seems low, but in there we had an increase of $740,000 for principal. So we were actually under the expenses of 2019, closer to $800,000 with the increase in PPE. Our COVID-related expenses for 2021 were $337,000. Some of that is salaries, and a lot of that, about $200,000 of that, is PPE. So we had increased costs there as well as staffing that were only could only handle COVID. So we couldn't have them handling other wings. They could only handle the COVID, so we had to have special staffing for that as well. Our cost per resident day, so in 2019, we had a cost per resident day of $341. In 2021, that went up to $360, almost $358. The thing is when we have less residents, which we had a lot less in 2021, we have less to cover the fixed costs. We have the fixed costs, and the big one being the principal that I explained, but we also have the interest, the utilities, certain things that don't go down when we have less residents, so they get a higher portion of that fixed cost. Our Med A margin has been increasing. So like I said, in 2020, they went to a PDPM. So in 2019, our Med A margin, which is our revenue over specific expenses just for Med A, we were making $86 a day per resident. We now, for 2021, are making almost $134 a day, but we have less residents to help cover the Medicaid shortfall. So when this pandemic ends and when we get back to our normal census, these numbers are going to increase. We did receive increases in the Medicaid reimbursement, too, with the state budget. However, the state has gone to this PDPM rate starting January 1st of 2022. We don't know how that's going to turn out yet. But I feel like our rates are increasing, and once we get census up, we will go back to having more money than our expenses.
But but before we can get the census up, we need employees.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. And I'm just reading it here. It says on page 15, state and federal CNA training regulations fail to recognize the severity of caregiver workforce crisis. Is it that, are they looking into that, the state and federal, to, this isn't the right word, but relaxing or changing the regulations so it's more, they are?
So, actually, I just got that yesterday. So, part of the CMS changes is exactly that. So, they are looking at the changes in relation to CNAs and what can be done. Whether, I know there's going to be a huge push to try to get to recruit them, but also to help cover their costs for the course as well as the taking of the test. So, yes, that is all part of that.
And what do you think? I'm assuming all these regulations for PPE and all that kind of stuff is coming down from the top.
Oh, it's coming from the top. Yes. And
so when do you think they're going to change those or relax them or whatever, where you can not get back to normal but not be as strict, we'll just say?
I would love.
Have you heard anything?
Not a peep. And in fact, Katie Smith Sloan, I think it is, she's federal, and I think that she might be a senator or a congressman, I can't remember, but she's part of Leading Age, which is the advocacy group for post-acute care, had said, don't forget about the seniors. Everybody is relaxing, right, all of their regulations in relation to masks and gatherings. Nothing has been changed for the healthcare industry, specifically nursing homes. So she has made that very well known, like, wait, what about the seniors? Hold on. So it's out there. I mean, people are talking. So when? I have no idea, but not fast enough in my mind.
I'm just wondering if you've heard anything, but no.
Nothing. Nothing. And people are getting frustrated.
What's our starting rate for CNA?
Wait, there you go. Thank you. I was just going to say they just changed it.
They just changed it in the 2020 budget.
$15.06.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, I'd just like to respond to a problem that we're having. I spent many years on this board. I have never seen anything like this in all of you that have been on this board. One of the biggest problems that we have right now is that hospitals are trying to recruit our staff, giving them bonuses. And that's another big problem that we have to face, reality, because we have competition. And I think that we should understand the problem that we have. Other nursing homes are trying to recruit people too. I mean, we all have the same problem. But I just want to point out something. I had a young lady experience, and she wanted to become a Brookside. And when she was told her employer that she wanted to come here, they raised her wage $5 an hour. She was making $13 an hour, CNA, and went up to $18. We can't have that competition. What we do in county government, we provide fringe benefits and pensions. And what we need to do is to face reality. I have always pointed out we should try to talk to our state legislators and see if there's a problem where we could modify the state law where we could provide better wages for a single person and have an opportunity for them to take a pension or take a wage increase. We are handcuffed sometimes for competitive wages because we provide health care and pensions. And we need to look at that. We need to start talking to our legislators and see if there's an option where we could provide a better wages and subtract the benefits. Younger people, they want the money. They want more money to support their livelihood. And so I just want you to know that's one of the big problems that we're facing in the healthcare business. We can't, as a county board supervisor, you can't give out these big bonus raises. But we could maybe modify our benefits so we could give those benefits out so we could be competitive. So I just want you to think about that. And one other thing I have to say, Title 19, we lose $135 a day on each person. $135 a day. What you people should be doing as supervisors, I have always maintained that we need to ask our congressmen to come down and sit them down and explain our losses. And maybe they could maybe do something in Washington. They could maybe adjust that so we could, we won't be losing so much money. So those are two big things in my book that we need to address. How can we combat these losses? These losses are having a big problem with me, okay? I have a director. I worked under six other directors. I want to tell you something. This director has did a tremendous job of addressing the problems that we're having in Kenosha County. The virus that she's facing every day with the staffing and employees is unbelievable. I'm so proud that I could be working with her, and I really mean that. So I just want you to know that we're trying to do a good job. I think that we were considered one of the best nursing homes in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm proud of that. And a lot to do with that is because we have a wonderful staff, a dedicated staff. Staff that is working tremendous hours every week, more hours than they can. You know, one time we used to have a pool of workers where we could maybe go through and get people to come over and work overtime. We don't have that pool anymore. We can't get people. So I'm just saying to you, Linda is doing a tremendous job. And so I'm damn proud of her. And the board of trustees are working together to try to improve our lifestyle for our residents in Kenosha County. I want this committee to understand that.
Thank you
very much.
Well, I think this probably should go to Ms.
There you go.
But I think Kayla really deserves it.
Well, she's not here. Yeah. So here you go.
Thank
you.
By the time she would see Kayla, they wouldn't be as pretty. So
that was very kind. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Now I feel bad. But thank you.
Really, thank you tonight for helping us understand your struggles, your challenges, but also your successes. We really appreciate it. It helps us understand when we look at financials, and Tammy, thank you very much. It helps us understand, I think, a little bit clearer on where we want to get to, where we've been, what we've gone through, and where we need to now migrate to. So the biggest message is get the word out that they need CNAs. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Does anybody else have any commentary?
Is there any light on the horizon that you see for CNAs and staff, that you know that there is a push for them, or
definitely
in the industry that you're seeing? Or
yeah, there is the push in every aspect, state, federal,
but
everything.
Are they reacting to it? Are people actually
it's slow going.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of the courses stopped during the pandemic because even my daughter received her CNA certification in high school. All of that stopped for so over a year. So it's kind of
stopped the pipeline.
It did, 100%. Okay. So if we can get these back going, and I know that KUSD is really working hard, and I know West OSHA, don't they have a CNA clinical thing that I read in the paper? So I know that there are definitely initiatives to get it going. So do I see it on the horizon? It's here. It just doesn't end overnight. That's the problem. And yeah, I wish it did.
And there's nothing like reading in trade magazines where they think it'll be a year or 3 years or no indication.
Unless Clara could go into that for HR stuff. I don't have a, I wish I had a time frame. I do, but I don't. That I've seen.
Our magic ball.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, we're facing issues where we have people aging out that are wanting to jump into early retirement because, like Linda mentioned, they want to be not in the healthcare field any longer as a result of the pandemic. And then, unfortunately, the courses and things that are offered for our younger generation that is coming in and would like to take this stuff, it wasn't readily available during the pandemic as well. So that stuff is just getting jump started back up. We are partnering with KUSD. We're partnering with our county high schools. We're going to job fairs. We have ads out everywhere. We're working with Joel Patente to get some recruiting videos up and running. He's going to be coming in. We're going to be taping some stuff at Brookside next week, little short social media snippets to try to get out to, you know, who we can. And
have any other questions? Thank you both. It was a really well delivered overview of not only the occupancy but of financials and what your struggles have been.
Well, please know that anybody is always welcome to call me to discuss. I live and breathe this. It's not just a job or a career, it's truly my passion. So I have a lot of information I'd love to share. It's something I can talk about all the time. So
thank you very much.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Is there any other business authorized by law? Yes.
Just a question for the committee. I noticed that our next committee date would be on April 5th, which we won't be meeting because that's also election day.
Oh.
So there is one agenda item right now that is a resolution that would reappoint Andy Bird to the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency that we'd like to have heard, and then possibly a presentation that Sharon, Supervisor Palmaville was planning as far as food security.
Can we do it the Monday before the 5th?
There's also going to be that resolution for that new member for COADS.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Oh.
And so that would be your public works.
Oh, that's public works.
I mean, we can meet earlier. We can meet.
Can we meet at like 5 o'clock?
That's up to the committee.
Does anybody have any problem making a 5 o'clock meeting or 5:30?
Terry?
Will we be having...
I will be here.
Excuse me. John, will we be having a board meeting on the 5th? April 5th?
It'll be the next day.
The next day.
Yes. It'll be the 6th.
It'll
okay.
be on the 6th.
And then the 6th is judiciary and law meets at 6 or 6:30. So, I mean, we can meet it early on the 6th.
Can we... Either we can meet on the 6th or we can meet on the 5th early at like 5:30 or something. What does everybody think? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
You mean Monday or Wednesday?
Monday or no, not Monday. Yeah.
Not Monday?
Well, Tuesday's voting day and usually the boards don't meet on that.
I have public works on Monday.
So
Wednesday at 5:30?
5:30? Yeah, sure.
Wednesday at 5:30.
Well, 5:30.
Does that work okay?
5:30.
On the 6th?
Yes.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. We only have two things, so maybe we could get it done quick.
If you wanted something, you keep it short.
Yeah.
We need two resolutions.
Yeah, because then judiciary and law is right after.
Okay. At 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other business?
Tammy, because I actually need
if
this.
Not, we have motion to adjourn.
So, second.
Thank you. All approved?
Right.
Yes. Aye. Aye. Okay. Any opposed? No. Okay.
You got to leave.
Oh, we would meet. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, you would meet.
Six more weeks.
Because they don't do it that right. Voting is done.
There will be springtime and we'll be free.
What are you going to do with that?
I'm moving to Minocqua.
Are you?
Really?
Good for you.
That's where I'm going to stay for the summer.
Oh, but you'll be back in the fall.
Probably, yeah.
Doesn't sound like a commitment.
Self-proclaimed.
Yes. Does that sound